Amen. Well, that's a good word to start on. Good morning. Good to see you here today. Thank you for being here. All right. If you're in the bookstore or out in the atrium, and it looks like a lot of you are, go ahead and we're going to go ahead and start making our way in this morning. And it's good to see everybody here for Sunday school. Thank you for being here. Thank you for having a desire to learn the Word of God. And boy, the more time you spend in this book, the more you learn. It's just inexhaustible. You can never exhaust. It's fresh every single time. And so what a joy to be able to come together and learn the Word of God today. Brother Terry's going to teach our class this morning. So we're going to go ahead and have prayer and get underway today. And we'll let him get on up here and get started today. All right. Well, we did pass out a handout this morning. And so if you have a special prayer request, then you can jot those down in the allotted space there toward the bottom and just tear it off at the preparation line, and then you can turn those in throughout the day to the information desk, and they'll try to make sure that I get them before we leave today, and we'll try to make those a matter of prayer. We tried to pray over your prayer request this week, and I hope you've had a good week, and I hope the Lord's blessed you. I know the Lord's blessed you. I don't have to hope about that. I know the Lord's blessed you. And if you're breathing, he's blessed you. Amen. Actually, if you're not breathing, he's blessed you. If he never blessed us another day, we could not complain, could we? The Lord is good. We're glad you're here. Well, let's go to the Lord. How many of you have a special request of prayer, and you'd signify that by an uplifted hand today? So a lot of hands all over the house. And so we're going to go to the Lord and ask the Lord to bless today. Pray for those that are in the hospitals right now, and then some have been in the hospital and were able to come home, and so we thank the Lord for that. Harrison and Elizabeth are over in Fry Regional, over in Hickory. Of course, they delivered this week and gave birth to little Eden, and she's doing good, and they're doing good. And so anyway, you pray for Harrison and Elizabeth and their brand-new little one. And then we have several of our families that are away today. So let's pray for all those that that are away. Let's go to the Lord. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for the privilege to be back in your house again today. And we thank you for all that you've done this week. God, thank you for your direction. Thank you for your teaching and your guidance. Thank you for, Lord, for your grace. And thank you for your mercy. And thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're a long-suffering God. Thank you, Lord, that you're so patient with me and you're so patient with us all, and we appreciate your patience, and Lord, we're so thankful for your steadfastness, your faithfulness, and Lord, we're mindful of what Jeremiah the prophet told us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And so, Lord, we praise you for your faithfulness today, and Lord, you're a just God and a right God and a righteous God. And we praise you and we thank you for your blessings. Lord, thank you for giving us the opportunity to do what we're doing right now. And we do it every week pretty much. But God, help us not to take that for granted. Help us to remember the video that we watched Wednesday night concerning the young man in Nepal. And we're so thankful that we have freedom to worship and to serve you and to live for you and to raise our kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Father, we do pray for all those that are standing in the need of prayer today. We thank especially of those that are in the hospitals. Lord, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you might heal them. And then, Lord, some of our folk, not in the hospital, but, Lord, they are definitely standing in the need of prayer. I sure pray that you'd bless them and heal them and help them. And then, Lord, you know all the needs that are being recorded on the prayer slips today. And I pray even now, Lord, before we ever read them, I pray, Lord, that you would begin to do a great work in those requests. I pray that you would save and heal and sort people's lives out and help people to look to the Savior and just bless them in a great way. Thank you, Lord, for the safety that you've given us this week to some of our folks. And we just appreciate, Lord, your blessings. Father, I pray that you'd touch Brother Terry now. I pray that you would bring to his remembrance that which he studied. And Lord, I pray that you would help him as he teaches the precious Word of God. And Lord, hide him behind the cross. And I pray that the precious word of God would come alive in our hearts and our minds and our lives today. Father, forgive us of anything at all in our life that could even begin to be a hindrance. And I pray that the Spirit of God would flow like a mighty rushing wind in this place today. Take care of the weather and the electronics and the live stream and the sound and all the parts that go into this day today. Touch our teachers as they teach their classes and bless those that have been taught this morning at the nursing homes. And I pray you bring the increase from that and the radio stations as the message will be going out all across America today. God bless in the radio broadcast. And just come now, Lord, and teach us your word. We love you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake, amen. All right, Brother Terry, get your Bibles handy, and I know Brother Terry's going to be a blessing to us.
Well, good morning. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 20 today. Joshua chapter 20. I do my daily Bible reading, you know, and I try to read my Bible through at least once a year. You know, just try. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it's like a year and a month or whatever. But anyway, a lot of times I get bogged down because I'll find something that intrigues me, you know, and I'll get to studying on it and stuff. But anyway, over here in Joshua, we made it to Joshua in chapter 20. And the Bible says this in Joshua chapter 20. In verse 1, the Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, and unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, excuse me, and Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel, and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. All right, let me break it down. Let me break all that down here for you right quick. So the Bible distinctly gives the difference between murder and manslaughter. Okay, if you go back to Numbers chapter 35, you don't have to turn there, but if you go back there, you can see in detail what's going on here and how they're taking care of it. It says, if any man take a weapon or a stone and throw it at a man and kill him and have guile in his heart and all that stuff, or take a weapon of iron and smite him with it like a sword or a spear or whatever, that's murder, and that man has to die. That's what it says. Then it goes on to say, if a man is out and he's doing something and he accidentally kills his neighbor, not having any quarrel against him or anything like that, that is manslaughter, okay? And we hear about stuff like that all the time, people getting wrecks and stuff, and they get charged with vehicular manslaughter, or they get in an accident or something happens and they get charged with manslaughter, whatever, okay? We've all heard about stuff like that. Well, God told Moses, when Israel goes into Canaan, that they're to establish some cities of refuge. All right? There's six of them. Six cities of refuge. Now, what happens is, I'll give you for example. Say, let me find me a good example out here. Is Donnie in here? He's always a good example, ain't he? No, I'm just kidding. I love Donnie. Anyway, let's see here. Who in here's got a brother? Okay, I'm gonna use you, Rodney. All right, me and Rodney, we get fixing to have a barbecue, all right, because we like to eat. All right, so we out here, and I say, hey, Rodney, we're going to have a barbecue, but we got to go get some wood. So me and Rodney go out, and we go chopping wood, right? So I'm chopping, and I'm swinging it like I mean it. You know what I'm saying? That axe is getting swung hard, right? And I go to sling that axe, and the head of that axe flies off. And Rodney just happens to be in the course of the direction where that axe head's flying, and that thing hits him in the head and kills him. Now, me and him's fixing to have a barbecue, so there ain't nothing in between us except I done killed this man on accident. That's manslaughter, okay? At that point, if I was in Israel at that point in time, I'd be going over and say, hey, Rodney, wake up, Rodney, wake up, wake up, wake up. Come on, buddy. I didn't mean to hurt you, but you know what? I'm guilty of manslaughter. So God appointed cities. I, at that point in time, would flee to one of those cities, right? Because it is a refuge for the manslayer. Not the murderer, but the manslayer, okay? So now, there's this other cat that shows up. He's called the Avenger. I'm the slayer. The Avenger of the Blood shows up. Now, who is the Avenger of the Blood? Well, in Rodney's case, it would either be, it's your next of kin, all right? It would either be Sonny or Josh, okay? Sonny or Josh would be after me. Because the Bible says that we're not supposed to, in Israel back then, God said, don't shed blood because it defiles the land, all right? And there's no atonement for the land except the bloodshed of the murderer. Amen? So whoever shed that blood, that murderer, his blood is what made that atonement for the land. Nothing else could. Not a lamb, not anything else. So I'm fleeing to this city because I don't want to die because I really didn't mean to kill Rodney. Okay? You know what I'm saying? It wasn't on purpose, but Sonny might not see it that way. Josh might not see it that way. Okay, so I run to this city, and it said in there, when I was reading it, it said, and I'll stand at that gate. This is a gated city. I'll stand at that gate, and the elders of that city, and they say, what's your cause? And I say, look, me and my buddy was out cutting wood, and I accidentally killed him because the axe head flew off. You know what they do? They let me in that city. That's a refuge. Guess what they did? They closed that gate behind me. And the Bible says they'll provide me a place to stay until I go before the congregation in the town where the accident happened and stand trial, okay? And then if they find me guilty of manslaughter, then I go back to that city and I have to stay in that city until the high priest that is currently anointed passes away, okay? So what happens is they take me and I get tried, and I'm innocent of murder. I'm not a murderer, all right? And at that point, they put me back in that city. I have to stay in that city until the high priest dies, all right? And when that high priest dies, the time that I spent in that city and when the high priest dies, that right there, the accuser of the blood or the avenger of the blood is supposed to be satisfied with my time spent and the death of the high priest. That's how that happened. And then after that, I could go back to my hometown, into my house, and live my life normally, just like I would before the accident happened. That's how that was supposed to happen, okay? So you say, what in the world does this have to do with me? What in the world does that Avenger's blood and all that have to do with me? Well, here's the thing. We are this right here. This whole situation with the manslayer and the avenger of the blood and the city's refuge is a picture of salvation for us. You see, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. All right, so even this history right here that we're reading is profitable to us. Okay, it's profitable. You can use Scripture historically, doctrinally, or practically. Amen. There's three applications you can use it. So we can historically we can use this doctrinally, practically. Yeah, we can use this for us, okay? So here it is. Here's a picture of our salvation in Jesus Christ. Here we go. Number one, we have fled to Jesus for our refuge. Hebrews chapter 6, I'm going to read that for you. You don't have to turn there. Hebrews chapter 6, 18 says this. It says, let me put my specs on, I can't read. That by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we have fled to Jesus for our refuge. Two, the sinner is in danger of judgment because of the wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Amen. Three, the avenger of blood is after us. Four, God's appointed Savior is Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Five, the sinner must come to him by faith. John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Six, God wanted it to be easy for fugitives to find their way to safety. Deuteronomy chapter 19:3, you can look that up later. So there we have a type or a picture of our salvation from this story of the cities of refuge. Now, God wanted it to be easy. So in Deuteronomy chapter 19:3, you'll find that it was appointed every year that the people that lived around those refuge cities, they had to clear the roads up, keep the roads clean, make sure the paths were marked. They had signs and pointing to those cities. And another thing is Israel is about the size of Maryland, okay? It's about the size of the state of Maryland. And God wanted to make it easy, so he gave them six refuge cities, three on this side of Jordan and three on this side of Jordan. And they were spaced, whereas if you were anywhere in Israel and something like that happened, you wasn't too far from a city that you could seek refuge. Amen? Ain't you glad you ain't too far from Jesus? Huh? I mean, God made a way, and he made them. It was by ordinance that they had to keep the way marked clearly. They had to keep the way marked clearly to those cities of refuge. Amen? So we have a picture of our salvation. And I'm not going to be long today, okay? So y'all going to have plenty of time to drink coffee. Because I'm moving pretty fast. I had a lot to get through. But here, let's look at this. Let's look at these cities. The first city that's mentioned, and we're going to take them in order in Joshua chapter 20, is Kadesh. And Kadesh, I'm a word person. I like words. So if you find a word, especially words that are the names of cities and people or places or whatever, they mean something. Kadesh means righteousness. Shechem means shoulder. Hebron means fellowship. Bezer means fortress or strong. Ramoth equals height, and Golan equals exile. Golan. You hear a lot about Golan. If you hear about that struggle going over there on that west bank of Israel, you hear a lot about the Golan Heights, Golan, and different areas like that over there. But all these names have a meaning. And they all have a purpose, and we're going to get to that here in a minute. I'm going to show you how that works out. But the next thing, we're talking about this manslayer, and how we have salvation in Jesus Christ, and it's a picture of our salvation. Did you know that there are 10 words that Jesus spoke when he was on the cross? That was probably 10 of the most important words ever spoken concerning humanity. And the reason is, he was innocent, and he bore our sins on the cross. He didn't deserve it. And they mocked him and they killed him for our sins. Amen? And the 10 words are these: Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So when he said those 10 words on the cross, he acquitted us of murder. He acquitted us. He made us manslayers, amen? So you know what that did? That left that way wide open that we could go to refuge. We could seek refuge. If he wouldn't have said those words, we'd all be murderers. But when he said those words to God, he says, God, don't hold it against them. They ain't got a clue what they're doing. He made us manslayers instead of murderers, amen? He had grace in his toughest hour for us. Amen. So he's the ultimate example. And he made the way clear. He said, look, he said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but me. It was clearly marked. Listen, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. Amen. Ain't that what it says? Am I right? Straight is the way. And straight don't mean just straight. It means kept. It means in order. Amen. Jesus made it in order for us. He made it easy for us. He made the way straight for us. He made the gate narrow so we wouldn't have to go over. We wouldn't have to get off the path. Amen. He said, why is the way that leads to destruction? He said, but I'm going to put you on a straight and narrow path. Amen. So those 10 words changed the course of humanity. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Amen. Ain't you glad you've been forgiven? Amen. Ain't you glad you got a refuge you can seek? Well, I sure am. I sure am glad that God loves me and he made the way clear. And I you look at this stuff in the Old Testament and you just kind of read over it and you don't pay no attention. I'll tell you what you're doing. You're robbing yourself of a blessing. Listen. I told you I try to read my Bible through in a year. And a lot of times it don't happen. But I'll tell you this. Quality reading is way better than quantity reading. We got to get in this book. And I'm getting off course a little bit here. But this rabbit's got some fat on it. So I like chasing fat rabbits. Amen. Look, if we stayed off of Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all those other social media is destroyed, has destroyed this country. Amen. So we need to get our face off of Facebook and face into the book. Amen. And we can learn something that's going to help us and help other people. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to make somebody mad. I know I'm going to make somebody mad right now. There ain't no need in a youngin' have a cell phone or a tablet before they drive an age. Because all you doing is causing yourself trouble. That's exactly right. That's a fact. That is a fact. Because I know the trouble it causes me. Because there's times I want to watch YouTube.
Right.
You know, I might get on there looking for something I need to fix. But then it starts. I'll start watching everything else stupid on there. And before I know it, I've been on there an hour. And that's an hour I could have been doing something that made a difference. Amen. Now that rabbit, I'm done chasing that rabbit, but I feel better about it since I caught it. Amen. Feel better about it. Listen, those tablets and those cell phones are useful. But they're dangerous. They are dangerous. And a five-year-old, I've seen youngins that ain't even 3 years old, man. They know how to use that thing better than I do. They know how, and listen, it's dangerous. And that's a gateway for the devil to get in there. Hey, listen, you give him an inch, he'll become your ruler. That's a fact. You give him an inch, he'll take more. Listen, he'll take you farther than you ever thought you'd go. And it'll take you a whole lot longer to get back than it did for you to get there. I can tell you that because I've been there myself. Amen? So let's rabbit chased. Amen? But get in your book and learn. Learn some. Listen, this right here, I said this in a nursing home, I believe it was last Sunday. This book, I love my family. I love my church people. I love my pastor. I love all y'all. But this book is the most precious thing that I got.
Amen.
And still I am prone to neglect it. I am prone to neglect it because this book is spiritual and this is carnal. Amen. So we got to crucify this. Social media, man, this right here loves it. Listen to this guy and this guy bicker about something stupid that don't even matter. You're reading down through the comments. Wow, look at this guy, man, he's a jackwagon. Yeah. You just keep on. And you know what? It's like watching a Jerry Springer show or something, man. I know y'all know what I'm talking about. Social media is just like a version of Jerry Springer show. It's just more widespread, amen. Delete it. Be the best thing you ever did. Amen. Now that I said that. So these cities of refuge, three on the east side, three on the west. So on the west side, you had Kadesh, the most northern. And then you had Shechem, and then you had Hebron. And then on the east side, you had Golan, and then you have Ramoth and Bezer. And like I said, if you look at the map of Israel, and you look at those cities, you could be. Now look, if you was on the east side, you wouldn't want to try to go to the west side. You wouldn't want to try to cross the Jordan River to get to the west side. That's why God put three on each side. Amen. And they're spaced relatively even, and they really ain't far from each other. But anyway, the fourth thing that I want to talk to you about is how this relates, these six cities, relates to what a sinner experiences when they get saved. Now remember, Kadesh is righteousness, Shechem shoulder, Hebron fellowship, Bezer fortress or strong, Ramoth heights, Golan exile. All right, here's what they experience. Here's what they experience. Let me put my glasses on so I don't miss nothing. Jesus gives them his righteousness. Like a shepherd, he carries them on his shoulder, and they enter into fellowship with him. He is their fortress, and they are safe. They dwell in the heights, even though they are exiles and outcasts. There's a meaning to everything. There's not a word in that book that's filler. Everything means something. And you got to figure out what it means. And you could read through those names, you could read through those cities, and you never even see that until you studied it. Until you studied it out and see what it actually says and what those words actually means. and how that in the Old Testament that you think had nothing to do with you and has no bearing on your life could be a picture of salvation and the experience that you have after salvation because you got saved. You'd never even know it unless you crack that book and read it. You'd never know it. So I'm challenging you. I am challenging you right here to spend more time in the book. Spend more time in the book. Learn something. Help somebody. Man, Jesus gives us his righteousness. And like a shepherd, he carries. How many times Jesus carried you on his shoulder? Son, he carries me all day. He carries me all day. All the time. Just like that. You know, you ever heard that story about the shepherd's staff, how it's got that hook on one end? You know how they make them things is they take a sapling and they'll dig that thing up and they'll chop all the roots off of it and they'll leave that root ball on the bottom of it. And then they'll take the top of that sapling and they'll turn it down and they'll tie it into a hook. And when that shepherd, and that dries, when it dries, you know, it's hard. And when they get out of line, they'll reach over that hook and snatch that little sheep or lamb by the neck and yank him over with that hook. Well, that other end's a weapon. The other end of that thing, that root ball's a weapon, right? So when he gets one that keeps wandering off and he can't keep him straight, you know what he does? He'll take that root ball and he'll break his leg. You know what happens next? He picks that thing up and he puts it on his shoulder and he carries that thing around with him everywhere he goes until it's healed. That's what the Lord does for you. Prone to wander. We're prone to wander. And we get out there and we get snatched. Sometimes he'll take that hook and he'll snatch us by the neck and jerk us back in line. Hey, if you ain't getting snatched, you don't belong to him. Amen. If you ain't getting snatched every once in a while, something's wrong. You might want to check that up. But then we start wondering, you know, and we're like, that don't affect us like it did. You know what I'm saying? Our heart starts getting hard and we start, you know, I'm good. I can do this. Sometimes it takes drastic measures to get you back on course. Amen. But I'm glad we have a Savior that once he's wounded, he'll rub a little oil in it. Amen. He ain't rubbing salt. He's going to rub some oil in there. You know, the world will rub salt in it. Amen. When you get wounded by the world, they'll rub it. They'll take it and they'll take a handful of Epsom salt and rub that in there. Rough. I mean, just work you over, talk junk about you, and make you feel like you ain't nothing. You're some kind of trash or something, you know. But the Lord, when you're wounded, listen, faithful are the wounds of a friend, amen. If you got a friend that'll tell you right, that's what you need. Somebody that's your friend will tell you when you're messed up. They'll tell you when you're doing wrong. And when you get out of the will and the Lord takes that thing and breaks you down, he's going to heal you. He's going to wrap you up. He's going to put a little oil on you. He's going to wrap you up and he's going to carry you around. And you're going to have time to think about that. You know what? I messed up bad. I thank God I got a God that's full of grace and full of mercy. And he's willing. And he's willing. Listen, he could cast me out. I mean, he could cast me out. He could just forget about me if he wanted to. But he don't. Because he loves me. And he said, those that the Lord give me, in no wise will I cast out. No matter how rotten, how sorry you get, he won't cast you out. Now, he'll deal with you, but he ain't going to cast you out. Amen. So let's stay in the book. Let's learn something about the Lord. Let's learn something about the Bible. And let's just be thankful that we have a Bible. Amen. Thankful that, listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. Amen. There's three that bear record in heaven, Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know what this is? It's not just a book. It's just not a leatherback book with words on pages. This is a written copy of Jesus Christ. This right here, what I got in my hand, is the closest thing to touching Jesus as you can get. Amen. And we, like I said, we're prone to wandering. We're prone to neglect. And it's a fight. It's a struggle. But we need it. We need this book. Job said, I esteem the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. Amen. Well, I get up in the morning, nine times out of ten, I read my Bible before I eat or even drink coffee. You know, it ought to have the preeminence. It ought to have a spot way up there in your life. I mean, we spend a lot of time, like I said, on cell phones, watching television, doing hobbies and stuff like that. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with hobbies. There's nothing wrong with having things and doing stuff. But if it takes you out of the Word and it takes you out of church and it takes you out of the will of God, then it's worthless. It's vanity. It don't mean nothing. It can't do nothing for you. This right here is life-altering. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Any two-edged sword, piercing into the joints and the marrow and the soul and the spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is the only book you're going to read that while you're reading it, it's reading you. Amen. It's going to point out some stuff in your life, and that's why you need to read it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Thank you for this time to minister. Thank you for this church. Thank you for the body of believers, the church, Lord. The true church, the New Testament church, Lord. We just ask you, Lord, to bless the remainder of the services today. Lord, I pray that you would give us a desire for your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be good students and be good stewards of your word and of our time. And Lord, I thank you for just loving us and giving us an opportunity. Lord, if there's one here today that's lost and undone without Jesus, Lord, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. And Lord, we just ask you to bless the choir as we sing here in a little while. Bless the fellowship time. Bless the preaching time. And Lord, I pray that we'd leave here changed today. We'd leave different. There's something work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you and to love you and give you what you deserve, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'd help your word to be big in our lives. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just